Dufferbet, proud sponsors of the Welsh Premier League. Welcome to Dufferbet, WPL Radio.
So, some people have had an annus horribilis. For Gap Connor's Quay, I would argue, that's far from the case. And one man who's been at the vanguard of that is Andy Morrison. On the 2nd of November, he was appointed as Gap's Director of Football last year, and how the club has changed since then. And I'm delighted to say he's a very busy man, because he's not only doing involved with Gap Connors Quay, of course, he's got his Manchester City jollies as well. He's parked up near the Etihad, and he's got time to talk to us on this podcast. Happy New Year to you, Andy.
Thank you very much. The same to you, Mark. Same to you.
So, when you walked through the door on the 2nd of November and you were appointed as Director of Football, did you know what challenge awaited you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the challenge was to win the next game of football, which was Carmarthen on a Saturday. I've never tried to get too far away from that, you know, long-term objectives. I think, you know, just give your focus to what's right in front of you and then take it from there. You know, obviously, you know, you're planning going ahead, but, you know, your main focus has to be that next game, because that's the biggest one. And it was Carmarthen, and we tried to win it, and we did, thankfully.
Do you think that's what's helped you in the rise that we have seen with Gap? You've taken it one day at a time?
Yeah, definitely. You know what? I try and get that across to the players that, you know, no sooner is one game out of the way than, you know, you have to rest up, regroup, and then you have to go again. And the next game has to be a cup final. And that's how it's going to be now for the rest of the season. So it'll be no different from us. And I just think it's, you know, you don't look too far ahead. You know, if you start planning for three or four games, if we can get this against them, or that's going to be a tough game, just give your full attention to the game that's coming. Because in my experience, you know, you can never predict the next six results anyway. You know, you plan them, but they never, ever turn out the way you think they will do. So, you know, just fully focus on the next game.
Now, I know you'll tell me off for this, because I know you don't like being praised, but looking at the Nomads team that finished last season and looking at the team you inherited when you came in, there wasn't that much difference in personnel, yet the performances went absolutely ballistic and you got yourself to a position nobody thought you could get to. So it's all down to you, surely?
No, I mean, there was a lot of good things in place before I actually come to the club. You know, the previous managers had improved the squad. There was good players in there, and a good forward-thinking young coach in Jay Catton. And, you know, I think it needed, you know, an injection of energy, something maybe a touch different. And, you know, when everybody bought into to what I wanted, I think the key for me was getting the senior players on side. You know, we had four or five senior players who had played at a decent level, had been in the Football League. And if I could get them to buy into what I wanted, I thought everybody else would follow. And what they said to me, the senior players, towards the end of the season, was what I asked of them, and the expectations were exactly what they knew football to be when they played at that, you know, at that level. And the expectations and the challenges right across the board is what they had all their career. So I wasn't asking for anything that was untoward. It was exactly what I knew what was needed to actually get results.
And now, your pedigree in the game is massive. You've played for Manchester City, you've played for Blackpool. Do you think it's easier to get the messages you wanted to get across because people knew you'd played the game? It's a bit like, you know, a university lecturer who's had industry experience, I suppose. Are they a little bit more respected?
I think initially, I think there will be that, because, you know, if you've played at a decent level, but at the end of the day, it's results that keep the cog turning. You know, you can come in with any ideas you want, but, you know, and they can be as forward thinking as you want, but if you don't get results, players won't buy into it. You know, and that's what that for me is what has always been important, is, you know, what you're saying and what you're asking of your players, what is the results of that? And if the results come, then you know, they buy into that even more. You know, they want more of it, and that for me is exactly how it's been. You know, it's a way of doing things that's effective. And, you know, I knew straight away, and I think it probably applies to any manager going into a job, you know, I think sort of maybe 6 weeks 2 months, 3 months into the job. Nobody's interested if if you've turned the academy around. Nobody's interested if some of the younger players are maybe getting a look in the first team. Everybody's concerned nowadays about winning games of football. How are the first team doing? Where are we in the league? That's all that anybody wants to do or anybody's interested in. And I think, you know, when you first go into a club nowadays, you've got to make sure you get the top end right and then maybe work back the way towards, you know, towards the infrastructure and maybe the younger players coming through. You have to get results. And thankfully, you know, things went well for me from day one.
And were you aware when you walked in that Gary Dewhurst and the owners and the people running Gap Connors Quay had invested a significant amount of money and wanted to be as good as or better than TNS, wanted to be a really strong team in Welsh football? Was that a bit of pressure for you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, the chairman is very, very ambitious, and he wants to be eventually challenging TNS. TNS have raised the bar again this year to another level, and we're all trying to play catch up. You know, the downside of that is that the clubs that are coming and, you know, maybe getting closer to Bala, getting closer to Bangor, nobody's closed the gap between second and first. So what you end up having is everybody kind of slitting each other's throats, for want of a better analogy, and making it even easier for TNS because they win games and then other teams are taking points off each other. And it's made it, I think, an even easier task for them. The chairman obviously wants to challenge there eventually, but that's an ongoing project and an ongoing vision that he has. You know, for me, I can't take my eye off the next game, which is Airbus. You know, I have to totally focus on that and try and get the right results and then go into that second phase, which, you know, I've had a meeting with the chairman this morning for a couple of hours. And, you know, this second half of the season is going to be, for me, probably the best second half for the top six in probably 10 years, because you've got so many teams challenging and so many teams are strengthening and strong now. That, you know, it's going to be a riot these next 10 games when we actually do the split. It's going to be full on and it's going to be very, very exciting times for the league.
Well, we'll come back to that in a second. Starting last season, at what point did you know the corner had been turned, you were rising up the table and you felt you could go further?
I think after the first game. I think, you know, I thought I've got enough talent in the change room, I've got enough experience. You know, with the group of players you inherit as a manager, you have to find a way to win a game of football. You know, whatever you have, you know, how can I get opportunities on goal? How can I score goals? And how can I stop conceding? How do I stop the opposition getting into my box? And for me, it was basically right in front of my nose what I had to do with the personnel I had. You know, and after we beat, I think it was Carmarthen, I knew that I'd always be able to stay in games. I knew that I had enough experience, I had enough physicality to get clean sheets. It was about trying to score goals. You know, and I think that's probably followed on for us this season. You know, I'd have liked to be slightly more expansive and played in a slightly different way. But, you know, with the injuries we picked up straight away, you know, the highlight for me of the season so far was the first half against Bangor. When we went 2-0 up, we ran all over them. We looked so strong. George Haran went down at half-time. The following week, Ian Kearney done his cruciate. Mike Wilde then went out for 2 months with a broken foot, and it changed everything again. So, you know, we had to rejuggle it and perhaps go back a little bit more to what we did last season rather than what I hoped to do.
The beauty of you, Andy, is that we get champagne moments with you. We get the emotion of what it means to you and what it means to Gap Connors Quay to be in a certain position. And the two moments that stand out for me in the past 12 months with you are all Scurrier related. One where you hugged Gwendon after you got the won the playoff. And then a couple of months later, Nicky Johns interviewed at halftime. She was like Kate Adie, the war correspondent, because you said, "I'm not very happy at the moment. I don't think you should talk to me." I mean, don't ever change that, but is that important for people to see that public persona of you?
I suppose that's a two-sided coin, really. People want to see what's real. People want to actually be in touch, you know, because I think with the way football is nowadays, I think everybody, you know, are very coached and stage managed in their interviews, and, you know, everything's normally constructed before the interview takes place. So they want to see that... you know, that genuine people. But, you know, also with that, you're also on the edge a little bit. You might say the wrong thing, which can come back to haunt you. I think in the semi-final of the Cup, I might have said something at halftime in relation to an incident on the pitch. And, you know, I could have got myself into trouble by questioning decision by the referee. And as often happens, I was wrong. The referee was right and I got it wrong. But I was asked, you know, at the time, and I said what I thought. And, you know, I was reminded after the game about my responsibilities on making their judgments on referees' decisions. And, you know, and I learned from that, you know. So you have to be guarded. And I do think modern football, I think it's so difficult to actually, you know, to actually see real characters. I mean, I've worked with some incredible managers. I worked with Dal Finch at Blackburn and Sam Allardyce at Blackpool, and even, you know, Kevin Keegan towards the end. That, you know, and the person that I used to see off the pitch is just a total contrast to the man I would see speak to the press. And I always used to think, you know, the fans would love to see that person that I'm seeing. Because it's a totally different character to the actual bland way that they would come across to the press, but they also have to be very guarded. So, yeah, I'd like to try and be as honest and straight as I can be, but, you know, I also have to learn that going with that, you know, there'll be some mistakes along the way, and hopefully there won't be too big a price to pay.
But do you think that's one of the unique selling points of the Welsh Premier League, is that everybody knows everybody? It's quite an honest and open league, and, you know, we're obviously not the big guys of the English Premier League, and it just feels accessible because of those sorts of interviews that you and other people give.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Welsh League's unique in itself. I think it gives a platform for aspiring managers or anyone who's been around for a while to learn the game. You know, you halftime interviews, where do you ever see that? I mean, you don't get that in the first and second division. Where do you get the coverage that we get, you know, through Scorio, you know, television, the cameras turning up the games for live games? It's, you know, it's a fantastic platform for any manager. I think the downside of it is the familiarity does affect the football sometimes, you know, because you become so familiar with the opposition that, I know the way lads are going to step off the coach when they arrive. I know how a team's going to line up in the tunnel before they go out. You know, you see that much of them that it's very, very difficult to actually, unless you change the system within a game, it's very difficult to try and catch a manager on the hop with, you know, I think what you're seeing this season with Banger, with Braden Shaw and Jones coming in. I just think that in time, you know, them players will be worked out. Them players will become familiar to the league and, you know, they play with a real freedom this year, but it's come from the fact that, you know, nobody really knows them, and 6 months' time, you're going to know all them players. And again, it might become a bit dogged. So, you know, trying to freshen things up all the time is definitely a way forward.
Do you think that's what's happened with Llan Dudno this season?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Llan Dudno have managed to keep all their good players together. There's some very good. They had a fantastic season last year. They kept their team together. They brought in some exceptional players. I think John Owen on the wing has been one of the highlights of the season for me. The quality that he has. But teams get to know everyone, and you know them little patterns of play that they had last year. And you know, when the way they scored goals, you know, teams now know what they're going to do. You know, I think an example of that is a player I played with, Marcus Stewart at Huddersfield, went to Sunderland, totally unknown. And I think he scored 25 goals in the Premier League in his first season. I think the following season, he didn't score one. So, you know, people work people out pretty quick. So you have to keep coming up with new ideas, unless you're obviously TNS who are unique, you know, because they're so far ahead of the rest of us that, you know, they're like a machine. They just keep putting result out after result.
You had two champagne moments this season at the winning the playoff and obviously off to Europe. Did you ever see them coming early doors? And also, what was it like, those specific moments when you're lifting trophies or you're at draws and learning who you're going to play? I mean, what's the emotions and the experience like of those?
When I came in, I mean, my first objective was to make sure that we stayed in the league. As we began to get results, then could we make the top six? You know, could we then, once we were in the top six, could we get a home game in the playoffs? And that was so important to me. You know, while I think teams were resting players up, looking at maybe cup games or fresh, you know, trying to freshen things up for the playoffs that were coming, our focus was just making sure that we got home games on the grass in the semi and the final, and we managed to do that. You know, I've already said I'll never experience anything like the highs and the tension and the atmosphere that I had in the week leading up to the Airbus game for many, many reasons. And actually winning that, you know, and I've said, you know, if I managed Scotland one day in a World Cup final against England, and we won the last kick of the game, and I was asked after the game, you know, how do you feel? I'd say nowhere near as good as I felt when I beat Airbus, because that was just an incredible, incredible experience for me and my family, you know, on the pitch after the game. And then we go into the European games, and you know, everybody knows you don't want a Scandinavian team. You know, they're in mid-season. They're obviously very fit. They're very organised, very talented. And, you know, we drew one of them and somehow we find a way. You know, and like I said to the lads, we've still got video footage after the star back in one of the local bars. And, you know, the experience was something quite incredible. And, you know, some of the video footage is fantastic, of the lads up on stage singing with the live band, you know, and it's... things like that will stay with me for the rest of my life. But I want more of it. I want to experience that again this year. And the players want to experience that again, you know, and they want to test themselves in them situations, because, you know, coming up against a team like we did, Starback, when we played away, we were 25 to 1 to win the game. And, you know, and somehow we found a way to do it. And, you know, and I love that challenge. And I hope that opportunity comes again to challenge yourself.
So you use all of that video footage and those memories as a never-go-back situation. We'll never go back to the bottom six. We'll never struggle again. This is where we need to be consistently.
I think those aims are, you know, what the chairman have put on us anyway. So, you know, the objective of the club has changed over the last... I think since I came in, you know, and I think it was there before that, you know, the club were always looking to get into Europe and always challenge at the top end of the Welsh Premier League. You know, I think we've established ourselves in that position now. And what we have to do now is to make sure that we keep progressing, make sure that we keep going forward, making sure that we keep improving, you know, and I think we are. I think we're going in the right direction. And I think the club are in a really good position at the moment.
It would be fair to say there have been a couple of games this season you've not reached that potential, and I think you've said that. Is that injuries that's down to that, or, you know, do you feel that there's more sometimes to get out of the players?
Well, I believe that, you know, the start of the season where we are now, I think that was realistic. You know, points, maybe we could have had two or three more in certain games, but, you know, where we are to be, you know, on a level playing field with Bala, I think, you know, that's fair to say that that's where we would have thought we would have been with the squad we put together. You know, for all that period, we've had, you know, 4, 5, 6 players out, and, you know, not just a couple of weeks out. I mean, these are long-term injuries. So I think where we are actually now, I think we've overachieved. But, you know, at the start of the season, when the squad I put together, this is probably where we should have been. But like I say, you know, we've... With the catastrophic injury problems that we've had, and you know, these players won't play again this season. You know, I think the lads have done fantastic, but you know what it does is gives us an opportunity to go into them last 10 games with in a position where we can go and now, you know, fight for one of them European places. And as I've said, if that means having to go in through the playoffs, then so be it. But you know, we're in a position now where we can go into these games now and really, really challenge in every game we play. And that's the key point, is whether it's TNS, whether it's Cardiff Mets, or whether whoever comes in that last position, that, you know, they know that when they play Connors Quay, they're going to be in a game and they're going to have a massive challenge on that day. And that's what we have to do, game in, game out.
I remember I was at the media day pre-season at Newtown, and Alan Morgan was ribbing some of your players, saying, "You're going to beat TNS." And they're going, "No, you're going to beat TNS." It was a funny moment, obviously, but do you feel that there was a feeling that after what you'd done in Europe, people felt this was the year you were going to overtake TNS or challenge TNS?
Yeah, you've got to make sure that you use the word challenge, because, you know, like I say, they've raised the bar again this year, and ourselves, Bala and Banger, I've got a massive challenge to get anywhere near them. You know, there's an infrastructure in place that goes from the very top to, you know, all the way down at TNS that they've built now over, you know, the best part of 10 years. That doesn't happen overnight. Similar to, for me, it's similar to Bala. You know, Bala have an exceptional squad, and that's been built over 4, 5, 6 years. You know, there's players there who were there when I first came in at Airbus and we played against Bala. There's players that are still there. So they've kept the crux. They've always managed to keep their best players, and they've added to it. So, you know, I've had maybe one stroke, two window to try and put a squad together. You know, they've been putting a squad together for 5 years. So I still think that, you know, them two are ahead of us. And, you know, you've looked at with what we've heard this week with Banger offering serious money for players. The players they've already brought in and the performance they've put in this season, that they're a serious player. So everything to play for. But, you know, I still think that we're all very, very short of TNS at this moment.
But does the fact that Bangor are now challenging you, Bala are challenging you, add an extra excitement? I mean, or would you just rather a clear path to second?
I'd rather a clear path for second, absolutely. That would just be marvellous if everybody would just not bother turning up and we could just take it now. But football doesn't work like that, and life doesn't work like that. And it's going to be a riot. These next 3 or 4 months are going to be fantastic. And there's going to be incredible games. There's going to be highs and lows. There's going to be so many twists and turns before the end of the season. You know, TNS have got it nailed. For me, you know, that's a done deal. But, you know, that second, third and fourth place are huge, because that fourth place, the opportunity to play at home in the semi-final and the final, if you get through the semi-final, are huge. And so everything's to play for, and it's going to be a lot of fun these next 2 or 3 months.
Well, you've already said how much this league means to you by saying about that champagne moment when you won the playoffs. And Andy, there's no doubt that this league does mean a lot to you. I'll take you to your second love now, your minor team, Manchester City. You're outside the car park. You're looking at the great place at the moment. Is Pep going to take them to the title?
Yeah, they're still my tip. You know, I've been quite vociferous over the last few weeks on a few of the phone-ins and that, on my opinions. I think, you know, he's trying to put something in place. They're in a transitional period. Nobody seems to remember that, the fact that, you know, the new manager's just come in. You know, I always go back to the ones across the road. The United, they've been in a transitional period for 4 years. The manager we got in place is a very, very special football man. And, you know, the football club is going to be going, for me, I believe over the next 10 to 15 years, you know, they're going to dominate domestically and on the European stage. You know, and that's not just, you know, being one-eyed blue. It's exactly how I see it. I said last year, I couldn't see where the club were going. I couldn't see an identity to the club. I do now. And, you know, and I believe that City will, you know, will be there or thereabouts. It'll be, you know, they'll be in that top two. And if they can get a run of games going, I think they could win the league this year. And when you're, I think it's 6-7 points behind, that's a bold statement, because Chelsea are playing very well. But I do believe that there's something special with this manager, Pep.
Do you think the only thing he's been caught out on is the physicality? I mean, you like a bit of a physical game. You know, maybe you should give him some tips, mate.
No, I mean, it comes down to personnel and you know, the players that he's had available. You know, if Vinny was in there, then big players that have caused problems with their direct play, I don't believe it would have that wouldn't have caused him the problems that it has. You know, it's I think the Premier League is unique in the sense that there's only maybe two or three big clubs in Spain and also Germany. And, you know, on any given day, a team, you know, such as Burnley, you know, who have beat Liverpool 2-0 at home, can go and get a strange result. You know, that's something that he'll be learning. But, you know, he won't stray too much away from his philosophy. But I believe that he'll tweak it a little bit, because the best managers do. You know, he'll find a way to win. He won't come full school, but he will tweak things a little bit, and he'll have to find a balance between the way he wants to play and the English way, which is high intensity, it's physical, and it's very demanding. But, you know, he'll find that way, because, you know, he could do what he did at Barcelona, because, you know, he had the best players in the world in Xavi, in Iniesta, in Messi. Them players, they could play, you put them three into any team in the world and that team would become the best team. So, you know, it's going to take time, but, you know, like I say, I mean, I watch him intently every time they play. I spend half the time watching him and half the time watching the game. And he's animated, he's passionate, he lives every single kick of the game. And, you know, and I think that's a contrast to where we were maybe 2 or 3 years ago, where everybody sort of said, well, it's the Wenger way, you know, you have to sit there and be placid. And then, you know, Louis van Gaal came in. I see it slightly different now. And, you know, and I think that's a demanding from fans as well. They want to see that passion. They want to see your Contes. They want to see your Peps on the side of the pitch, Diego Simeone, living the game every single kick, you know. And I think they feed off that, and it pleases me every time I see that, because I just think to myself, well, you know what, I can't be doing that thing that wrong the way I am if the best managers in the world are doing similar things.
Yeah, I was going to say, both of you are living that game on both fronts. Well, obviously, good luck to Gapcon as key. Good luck to Manchester City. Before I go, though, Andy, I've got to say, on behalf of all the Scoria team, we just wanted to make something up to you. We have to out you first as a Shawadi Wadi fan, don't we?
Massive Shawadi Wadi fan.
Those under 40, it was a band that used to be popular in the 70s. Now, a little bird told me one day, Shawadi Wadi were playing at Crewe one Saturday evening, and you had tickets. And then Scoria switched your game to a 5:15 kickoff, putting your place at the front of the queue a little bit in jeopardy. Did you make it?
I did make it. It was, it was very inconsiderate and of Scoria, but you know, I had to live with it. They changed the fixture late, and I got there. I still got for the start, and it was a thoroughly good night. And it was a great night. It was after the Bala game, which, you know, it wasn't the result I wanted, but Shawadi Wadi more than made up for it.
I won't ask what speed you were doing down the roads to get from there to Crewe at 7 o'clock.
No, they didn't. It didn't start until about 8:15. There was an act on to start with, so
okay,
I didn't miss any of the big hits.
You didn't appear on a speed camera somewhere. Brilliant. Anyway, to make it up to you, I'm going to give you the chance to choose a Shawadi Wadi song of your choice to end this podcast. So, hey, Mr. DJ, tell us which one you want.
Yeah, you stick under the moon of love.
Oh, it's a classic.
Booming out.
See, I was hoping you'd choose that one because that's my personal favourite as well. But there's some good other ones as well. But I suppose it's their flagship song, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll do me. I'll listen into that and I'll put a smile on my face.
Listen to this, kids. This is how they used to make music. Thanks for your time, Andy.
Cheers, very top man. Thanks, pal.
Cheers, mate. Have a good Christmas. Whispering things in your ear.
Sign up for your Duffer Bet account and support the WPL.